Hi, this is Wayne Ivey, pastor of First Christian Conroe. Welcome to our midweek podcast. And I'm a day late getting this recorded. It's Thursday now. And yesterday I had planned to get it finished, and I wound up going home a little early to prepare for the hurricane. And we are, even though we're thankful that the hurricane did not hit the Houston coast, we need to keep in our prayers everyone in Louisiana. It seems as if there was like a 9-foot storm surge in Louisiana, and Lake Charles, I understand, is basically completely flooded. So please keep all of our sisters and brothers in Louisiana in your prayers, and all of those affected by the hurricane. Yesterday, another big day in the food pantry. I want to give a shout out to all of our volunteers. They did a wonderful job. Well, remember last week we left Paul on his way to Jerusalem. While he was going through Macedonia on his way to Jerusalem, another confrontation arose between Paul and a silversmith named Demetrius. Have you noticed that Paul seems to get into a lot of confrontations and arguments? Paul's faith is larger than life, but also is his ego and his argumentative nature larger than life. Paul would argue at the drop of a hat with anyone, and he was a very lively debater. Anyway, he got in an argument with a silversmith named Demetrius. Paul was costing Demetrius and the other silversmiths a lot of money. For you see, Paul was talking them out of buying the silver idols that were offered to the gods. Let's hear from chapter 19, 23 and following. About that time, there arose no little stir concerning the way, for a man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought no little business to the craftsmen. These he gathered together with the workmen of like occupation and said, "Men, you know that from this business we have our wealth, and you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away a considerable company of people, saying that gods made with the hands are not gods. And there is danger not only that this trade of ours may come into disrepute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis may count for nothing, and that she may even be deposed from her magnificence, she whom all Asia and the world worships." When they heard this, they were enraged and cried out, Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." So the city was filled with confusion, and they rushed together into the theater, dragging with them Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians, who were Paul's companions in travel. And so Demetrius and the other silversmiths wanted to beat Paul and the others, but there was a Jew named Alexander, and he actually talked the silversmiths out of beating them up. And he said, "Sue them if you must. If you have something against them, take them into court. But if you go ahead and beat them up, you're going to be the ones arrested for rioting." All of this about the money that Paul and the other Christians were costing the silversmiths who worshipped Artemis. Question. What is the proper relationship between religion and economics? You know, there is There is a version of the gospel today, sometimes called the success gospel. Actually, it had its roots in the Puritan work ethic that said if you took care of your business and worked hard, you would be rewarded. And this work ethic has started in America over 200 years ago. It says if you are faithful, that you will be financially successful. Well, if you are faithful, will you be financially successful? Or if you are not financially successful, is it because you are not faithful? You know, I am afraid that our possessions and our wealth are more likely to lead us away from God than rather toward God when our possessions start possessing us. Then Paul and the others departed for Jerusalem, going through Ephesus. You've heard of Ephesus as one of the letters of Paul, but really Ephesus was one of the main cities in the ancient world. There was a huge temple of Artemis right outside the city. And if you read the book of Revelation, Ephesus is one of the seven churches that's spoken of. They are called the seven churches of the apocalypse in Revelation. In fact, the Gospel of John may have been written in Ephesus, but Paul and the others are going through there on their way to Jerusalem. Of course, Paul gets into arguments with other folks, and I want to read to you a passage that will convey Paul's intensity. Listen up. Here are Paul's words from chapter 20, verse 24 and following. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may accomplish my course and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that all you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify you to this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you guardians, to feed the church of the Lord. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to keep you and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by so toiling one must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And when he had spoken thus, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And they all wept and embraced Paul and kissed him, sorrowing most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they should see his face no more. And they brought him to the ship. Now remember that Luke is a traveling companion of Paul and the others, and he is writing down these words as Paul speaks them. So we have a firsthand account of the intensity that Paul was. It has been argued that the single person most responsible for the early growth of the church and the survival of the church in very difficult times was Paul. Paul also changed the direction of the church Without Paul, the church might have stayed within the confines of Judaism. And today, those first followers of Jesus, the inheritors of that, might be a small sect within Judaism and not the entirety of the Christian world. It's no wonder that we study Paul so much. It's also no wonder that his ego was so large, because he was so filled with the desperate desire and need to get the gospel of Jesus out into the world that nothing would stop him. Next week, we'll continue on Paul's journey, and until then, I invite you to be good to each other, wear your mask, wash your hands, stay socially distanced, and I will look forward to greeting you in person in the sanctuary for worship very soon. God bless.